Thank you for listening to Christian Family Church Podcast. Here at CFC, our mission is to live and communicate the power of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to the world around us. From wherever you're listening, we hope you'll be encouraged by this week's message.
This message is one that I've been sharing with our church, and I really feel is on my heart for 2024. So you're getting the download, the same as our church at Kingston and also at Wyndham. So let's get into it, and I'm really looking forward to sharing this word with you. All right, the two things I want to talk about this morning are two things that I believe that if you, not only I believe, the Bible very clearly says that if you put these two things into practice, you will have breakthroughs in your life. And so if you put these two things into practice in 2024, you are going to see God's hand on you and you are going to see breakthroughs. Now, the first principle, I suppose there's two principles I'm going to talk about, but the first one, if you do this, then you will be pleasing to God. And without this, you can't be pleasing to God. It also says about this first one that it enables your hopes to become a reality. You want to please God? You want your hopes to become a reality? Then this first principle I'm going to talk about, if you put this into practice, you'll see this happen, because that's the promise of the Word of God. The second thing I'm going to talk about is something that will never fail. Wow. Something that we can put into practice that the Bible says will never fail. It also says that when everything is finished, When God rolls up what exists right now, when God rolls that up, there'll only be three things that will remain. But the greatest of these three things is what I'm going to talk about this morning. So some of you that are astute, some of you that are Bible scholars, some of you that know the Word of God, you already know what I'm going to talk about. Others of you may be a little bit intrigued. But you would be crazy, crazy not to put into practice what I want to talk about this morning. Now, I'm a bit of a sports nut. I barrack for St Kilda in the AFL and the Melbourne Storm in the NRL. Melbourne Storm are a very successful team. Of course, the Saints are not very successful, but I inherited that from my father. And anyway, I read after, you know, what happens in the life of sportsmen and so on. I'm interested in that sort of stuff. And one of the things I hear many sports people say is, I'm committed to the process. Coaches say it, players say it. When it's a player, it means they're committed to the strategy that the coach has given them. They're committed to a proper diet. They're committed to a fitness regime. They're committed to everything that's being asked of them by their coaches and by the team that they're a part of. Now, they say that because if they commit to the right processes, they will improve. And hopefully, you know, if you're part of a team sport, that when everyone buys into that, you'll see the whole team improve and hopefully have success, whatever that success might be. Well, what I want to say to you today is that if you commit to these two spiritual laws, you will have success. You will see the hand of God, because the promise of God is very clear. And so as you begin this month of January, leading now into February, we're getting into the year, if you commit to these two things, I promise you, according to the Word of God, you will see things change. You will see the hand of God. Now, the first principle, of course, is faith. You can't please God without faith. Faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So the things that you hope for, faith makes substance of those. Not just hoping out into the future, but faith brings it into the now. Now, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 to 3, first part of 1 to 3 says this: therefore, while the promise of entering his rest remains, let us fear lest any of you be judged to have failed to reach it. For the good news came to us just as to them. But the message which they heard did not benefit them because it did not meet with faith in the hearers. For we who have believed enter that rest. Now, the writer of Hebrews, which I believe is Paul, or at least a contemporary of Paul, uses the example, talking about faith and entering his rest, of the people of Israel going across the Jordan into the land that had been promised to them, the land of Canaan. And we know that those people did not go in, or the first generation did not go in. 40 years later, the second generation went in and they entered into God's rest. Now, what is the writer of Hebrews saying here? He's saying that if you act on the word of God, you respond to the word of God in faith, you enter into God's rest, even though the battle had not been won across the Jordan. They had to, you know, overcome Jericho and Ai and all of these other places. That was yet to come. But if they responded to God in faith, then they were entering into his rest. It wasn't just their effort. It was God working through them and for them and before them to enable them to receive what he had promised. That is entering his rest. Now, what does entering his rest look like for us? Well, when I go on holiday, my wife and I, we were not on holiday in January, as many people were. We held the fort here at Kingston and at Wyndham as well, and allowed our team to go on their holiday for the year, or major holiday for the year. In March, we're going to go on holiday. There's a little inside info about our life. But when I go on holiday, Rose and I like to go to a resort. We like to have a pool, and we like to have a beach close by. We read books. We have nice food, we relax. You know, many times when I'm sitting there reading my book by the pool and just enjoying the atmosphere, I am just so grateful that I am able to, because of where I live and the circumstances of my life, that I'm able to have that moment of rest where I can just enjoy and do the things that I want to do without having the responsibilities or have to carry out my responsibilities. I just in a place of rest. Now, just recently, only just at the end of last year, here at Kingston and Wyndham, we made a decision that we would support a ministry in Turkey. And around September or so, we made a transaction of 5,000 Australian dollars to be sent to Turkey for this Arabic pastor in Turkey. It's reaching out to refugee communities. And we agreed we would send this money, and he gave us the account details. We put money in the account before. We sent the money, and it never arrived. Days went by, weeks went by. It never arrived in the account. And yet we checked all the details. It wasn't one of those ones where someone had hacked and taken or changed the bank details or anything like that. And so we got, after a couple of weeks, we just went, wow. We got the Combank to do a search. They said the money has landed in the account. And yet at the bank, they said the money has not arrived into the account. It was unexplainable. So myself and a few others, we just prayed and said, God, we ask you to return those funds to us. So we prayed that. Weeks went by and negative thoughts kept coming in, particularly to me. I'd be driving along and this negative thought would come in, the money's gone. Because what happens sometimes in Turkey and in some of those nations in the Middle East, that if money that is going for Christian endeavors gets found out, it disappears. People take it. And I kept getting those thoughts coming into my mind. But I believed that when I prayed, God heard me. And when others had prayed, that God had heard them as well. I kept saying, no, in the name of Jesus, that money is coming back into our account. I reject all of those negative thoughts that are trying to impose their will upon me. No, Father God, you heard me. I'd be driving along in the car, I'd be calling out, Father God, you heard me when I prayed. I thank you that money is returned into our account. 6 weeks went by. No one could explain where the money had gone. The CommBank security people said, it's in the account. And yet at the bank, they said, we have no record of that transaction hitting that account. That money is not in that account. Something was fishy and something was going on. So we just kept claiming, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the answer. And then we had a board meeting. Our board of elders had a meeting just in late December. We prayed again. We said, thank you, Lord, that money is returned to us. You know, the next day we got notice. All of that money came back into our account. It came back to Australia, into our account. Now, no one can explain what happened to it, where it disappeared to, or what took place. But God answered our prayer. We entered into His rest. Now, we had a little battle. The battle was in our own minds. The battle was, are we going to believe that God is working and remain in His rest? Or are we going to accept the word that is coming in the negative, that no, the money's gone? That is entering His rest. So faith looks like this. Prayer and bring the need before God. Of course, you've got to do that. Pray and bring the need before God. Choose to believe that God has heard you. Choose to believe that God heard you when you prayed. You know, 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, you read that. We're not going to show it, but you read that, and that confirms what I'm saying right here. And then the third thing is, I'm talking simple faith here. Ask, choose to believe that God heard you. The third thing is, give thanks to Him even when you don't see the answer. You know, that's the hard place. Give thanks to God when you don't see the answer. When the answer has not materialized, you continue to give thanks to God because you've entered into His rest. He is working on your behalf. And when you feel discouraged or despondent, give more thanks. When you feel discouraged and despondent, let me tell you, that's what comes, and that is the battle of faith. Give more thanks. Instead of taking it on, Father God, I thank you that you heard my prayer. I thank you that you're working. Even though I can't see the answer right now, I trust you that you are at work. Now, the second principle is found in Colossians chapter 1, verse 3 to 6, New Living Translation. Is love. Of course it is. Love never fails. And the greatest faith, hope, and love will remain when everything is gone. What's the greatest? Love is. Now let's look at this verse, Colossians 1, 3 to 6. Because we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. Great verses of Scripture. You truly understand God's grace when you act in faith and you're motivated by love. You truly understand the grace of God when you act in faith and you're motivated by love. You know, if you act in faith and your motivation is love, the enemy cannot undo that. He wants to get you out of love. He wants to get you into revenge. He wants to get you to responding to people in like manner. That's what he wants to do. He wants to get you into offense. He wants you to be offended by people, by what they say, what they do. Even sometimes what our perception might be that is not even real. We get offended. We want revenge. We won't have anything to do with that person, or we respond in not the right way. You know, in these verses, Paul mentions twice, faith and love together. They heard the true message of the gospel. It says they truly understood God's grace and they heard the true message of the gospel. Both of those things, a proper understanding of God's grace and the true message of God's gospel in Christ, is faith and love working together. When faith and love work together, you bring God on the scene. It says in that last verse in chapter 6, in the same way the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world. In the same way. In the same way, if you want to grow and you want to see the hand of God in 2024, then focus on faith and love working together. In the same way, just as Paul wrote to the Colossians, you will see the grace of God, the hand of God, as you allow faith and love to work in you. You know, in Romans chapter 12, verse 9, it says, love must be sincere, hate what is evil, and cling to what is good. Love must be sincere, hate what is evil, and cling to what is good. If your love is not sincere, it doesn't work. If your love is not sincere, it's not from a true heart, then it won't work. It says, cling to what is good. You know, if you're on a ship and somehow you got tossed overboard and someone threw you out a buoy, guess what? You would cling to that for life, wouldn't you? When I was a little boy, we had a big liquid amber tree in our front yard. And when I was bored in the street, when there were no kids still in the street or weren't in the out playing in the street that I could play with, I would climb to the top of that tree. It was a very big tree and I could see over the housetops. I could see streets away. And I'd sit up there and daydream and think of all sorts of things. But you know what? When I was at the top, I clung to that trunk. I clung to it for life. I loved being up there. I wasn't afraid of heights. But man, I knew that if I fell, I was a dead boy. And I clung to it. You know, we have to cling to what is good. In Romans chapter 12, just looking further down in that chapter, it says chapter 12, verse 17 to 21. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, do the opposite of revenge. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Let me tell you this. You have a major advantage in life. If you know Jesus Christ, if you know Christ and you're a believer in Christ, in the transformation that took place in you when you became a new creation, when God placed you before Him, holy, righteous, and above reproach, that's what Colossians tells us. If you have that relationship with God, you have an advantage in this life. God is on your side. God is working with you. God will work for you. He will work in you. And He will continue to build you as a believer in Christ. You have this major advantage. If you cooperate with God, see, we need to cooperate with God. God's done so much for us. He calls on us to cooperate with Him. He will act on our behalf when we cooperate with Him. When we do life His way, when we act in faith and motivated by love, He will work through us and in us and for us. Faith and love unlock situations that seem impossible to resolve. It seems there's no way that anything could change, but faith, motivated by love, will unlock those situations because God will start to work. And He's the God who does the impossible. He's the God that can change a situation that no man or woman can change. But it must be faith working through love. You know, we don't have this verse, but I'm just going to read it to you or just summarize it for you. In Mark chapter 12, when one of the Pharisees asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? He said, the first one is to love the Lord your God with your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then he said, the second one is to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, Jesus was talking to unregenerate men. He was talking to Old Testament people. Love the Lord your God with all heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Because that's the only love that an unregenerate person had. They could only love someone like they loved themselves. But in John chapter 13 and verse 34, again, we don't have that verse, but I'm going to quote it to you. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. You know, in John 13, 14, 15, 16, Jesus is going to the cross. It's only days before he goes to the cross. And he's speaking to the disciples as if they were new creation believers because they were just about to become that. They didn't know it at that time, but his resurrection was only days away. And only, you know, 10 days after that, they were going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Or 40 days after that, sorry. They were going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And they were going to experience what it meant to be a new creation. Their hearts were going to be changed. Prior to that, in the Old Testament, unregenerate man or woman, they could only love with the love they had for themselves. But once you get born again and the love of God is shed abroad in your heart, or the love of God is poured into your heart, Romans chapter 5 tells us, through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us, the love of God is then poured into our heart. So then Jesus could say, love one another as I have loved you. Because the same love that God had for us had been poured into our hearts, or has been poured into our hearts. And it's with that love that we can love other people. The same love that God loves us is resident in us as a new creation. And it's out of that love that God poured into our hearts that we can love other people. We are different. We are transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. We are new creations. All of the old stuff of the old man, of the sin nature, has passed away, and all things have become new. Where? In our hearts. It's a work, a deep work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. In Galatians, as I share this final part of my message, it says, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. Expressing faith from a heart motivated by love Expressing faith from a heart motivated by love means you are running the race well. But if you let someone cut in on you, instead of overcoming evil with good, you're overcome by evil. You respond to people in the same way. You know, you think of a person or a situation or a part of your life where it feels like someone's treating you badly. Someone does not respect you. They're saying things about you. They're doing things. They may not even know about it. They may not fully understand what they're doing, but it's bringing great offense and hurt into your life. If you carry that and you respond in like manner, you know what? You might even just go silent. You won't even have anything to do with those people. That's not love. That's being overcome by evil. That's allowing someone to come in and persuade you another way, and that you no longer are running the race. You're running the wrong race. You're not heading towards the finish line. You've got off track. You're running somewhere that's leading you into a dead end. But when you run the race well, you'll see the hand of God. Don't run the wrong race. Run the right race. And the right race is faith expressed through your life, trusting God, motivated by love, loving people who don't love you, choosing to show respect where you're not respected, choosing to help people who don't help you, choosing to honor when you're dishonored. You know, the love of God that's been poured into your heart enables you to do that. You can do that because you're a new Christian, a new creation, a true believer in Christ, transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. We can act in faith, motivated by love. And this year in 2024, if you will act in faith, if you will let your motivation be love, you think about the most difficult person in your life or the most difficult situation. Believe God that He'll turn it around. Believe God that He'll change it. Believe God, pray and ask Him, and believe that He heard you, and give Him thanks for the answer before you see it. And whenever you get a chance, you show deference for that person. You honor them, you respect them, you love them the way that God would. And you know what? You will see the hand of God. So as we are well and truly into this new year, 2024, my encouragement is for you to run a new race for some of you, or continue to run the race, others of you. Pray and bring those needs before God. Believe that when you prayed, He heard you, according to 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. Give thanks before you see the answer come. Mark 11, 22 to 24. Believe that you have received what you have prayed, and you will see the hand of God. Let go of your offense. Let it go. Give it over to God. And you know what? If you feel you can't do it 100%, then give the 60% that you can give. Start the process. Take 50% if that's all you've got, or 40% if that's all you've got, and give it to God, and release people from your offense. And you know what? It will release you. Do good where you have been acting badly. Take responsibility for your own actions, your own motivations, and choose to do good where you have not been doing good, or where you have just cut things off and won't even allow anything of that to remain in your life or to have any effect upon your life. Do good there. Choose to bless where you've been receiving cursing. You know, we've all got those people in our lives. Choose to bless where others are cursing. And do the opposite of your revengeful thoughts. You know, we watch lots of movies, well, I do, from time to time. And I love action thrillers and so on. And you know what they're normally based on? Revenge. The hero gets revenge. It's like a conditioning of us by all of the world's influence. But you know, we don't get revenge. Revenge is not a part of us. We leave that to God. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Do the opposite of your revengeful thoughts that come in, the daydreams that come in. And most of all, don't give up. Let God work. Don't give up. Let God work. You know, when you feel like giving up, just increase your thanksgiving. Father, I thank you that you're working. I can't see it. It almost seems impossible to me. But Father God, I know that you're the God who can do the impossible. And I know you're working now. I give you thanks, even though I don't see it. I give you thanks. Let me pray for you this morning as you're there in Colac. I invite everyone to stand as you would now, please. Please, everyone, if you would just stand around the auditorium there in Colac. If you choose to, just hold your hands out. This is a moment. I know I'm not there in person, but I am there in spirit as I bring this message to you. And as I pray, you receive this prayer into your life. You receive this prayer as being a prayer for you right now at the beginning of 2024. Let's pray together. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes together this morning. Heavenly Father, I pray for everyone at Southwest Community Church. I thank you for this great church. I thank you for Pastor Andrew and Rochelle and the ministry team and the leaders and the people of this church, the people of this church community. Lord, as we've begun 2024, I pray that you would break off people's lives right now. Hurt, pain, emotional strain, fears off their life right now in the name of Jesus. I come against the forces of darkness that have bound people up. And as Jesus prayed in Isaiah 61, as he came to bind up the brokenhearted, to set the captives free, and to release the prisoners from darkness, I pray that prayer over the people there at Colac this morning. That you would bind up the brokenhearted. That, Father, when we bind things up, we bind them up that they would be healed. That healing would flow for those that are suffering emotional trauma, those that are suffering emotionally in their lives, those that have been treated badly, those that have gone through trauma. Father, let your healing grace flow right now into their lives and bring healing. Father, I pray for those that have been captive, even by the influence of other people, by ungodly influence, the works of darkness, those that have been captive in their own thoughts of revenge and hurt and offense. Father, I ask you to set the captives free right now. Release people, Father God. Release the prisoners from darkness. Let there be a fresh start right now for this year. In the name of Jesus, Father, I speak your healing touch right now over this congregation. Let your healing power flow right now, right across this auditorium, touching hearts, touching people's bodies, touching their emotions. You are the God who does the impossible. You are the God who heals when there is no way on this earth that they can be healed, but you heal from heaven. Let your healing virtue flow right now in the name of Jesus. Let bodies be healed right now. Let emotions be healed and restored. Let fears, I break the power of fear right now over people's minds, their emotions, their lives in the name of Jesus. I cast down strongholds of deceptions and lies that people have taken unto themselves. In the name of Jesus, I break the power of those strongholds in Jesus' name. Father, let your grace flow in great measure there at Southwest Community Church, flowing right now, your goodness, your healing power. Holy Spirit, do a deep work, a miraculous work right now in the people there in this wonderful church. And I pray for this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. It's been wonderful to be able to share the Word of God with you this morning. And I pray you have a wonderful rest of the day. And my greetings to Pastor Andrew and Rochelle and all of the team there. It's been wonderful and a real privilege to be able to share the Word of God with you. Good day.